You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bah!
Did I really say I wanted to golf? Apparently,
yeah,
I did.
It's like you go through these phases where you want to do things, and then you know it's just a it's a comet. You just decide, nah.
You know, maybe I should just go out and hit a bucket of balls.
Why not?
Hit a bucket of balls. That's what people do, right? I would still like to do it. But I would like to do it on my own terms at a favorable time of day. None of this 5:45 in the morning.
Yeah, well,
crap.
You can go. I mean, golf courses are open anytime it's light. It's just that the times that you're zeroing in on are the most popular ones.
And golf is expensive, too. Like, I don't have any clubs.
No, it depends where you play.
Could I get lender clubs?
Oh, sure. I can get you clubs.
You can get me clubs?
Yeah. And most golf courses have rental sets if you don't want to, like...
Boy, you must be a loser if you're getting the rental set, right?
No, that's what Billy Mack and I do when we're on the road.
Oh, really? You just get a rental? Oh, right, because you're not bringing your golf clubs with you.
Right. Some of them are really nice.
So the week starts on a sour, sour, ugly, awful note.
Why?
Because today was the Southern California Sports Broadcasters
You're going to let this bother you?
Awards ceremony. Now, I want to point out, first of all, we were congratulated by the great Pete Arbogast. How do you do? Because... We were inducted, or we're supposed to be inducted, to the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame, which is great, which I'm really excited about.
By the
way,
is there anything more appropriate to the tone of our show that the year we get inducted to the Hall of Fame, there actually is no induction?
Yeah,
that
there's no
induction.
It's
wiped out by
all.
A pandemic. It's almost,
in a strange way,
it's perfect.
I'm going to have mine at Bowling Green State University. I'm going to do it TO style. I'm going to do it back at my own school. So we get inducted in the Hall of Fame, which is great, but we were nominated in the category of Best Sports Radio Talk Show, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Best Sports Radio Talk Show.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, did we roll on this? Were we able to record
I don't think they were able to get it.
They weren't, okay. So the nominees were us, the kings of sports talk radio in Los Angeles, Tim Cates and David Vesey. And I think they both work at, what station do they work at?
They work at the Dodger station.
Oh,
they
the both Dodger do, station, they right.
Both, and Tim does a lot of the UCLA stuff.
UCLA stuff, yeah. And I think both really good guys. Both really good. But I really feel like there should be an investigation into the voting because we lost to David Vesey, who is the host of Dodgers Talk.
Right.
Now, technically, that's not a traditional sports talk show. Do you agree?
I disagree.
Really?
No, yeah, he does Dodger Talk almost every night. And by the way, that's not an easy job because a lot of times you got to go like into wee hours of the night.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And we've known Vesey for a long time. I mean,
yeah.
he used to produce Joe McDonald's show that was on, well, at one point it was on before us and it was on after us and so we've known Dave for many, many years and I think he's killing it. Now, here's the real question.
Yeah.
Do you believe in the axiom, I guess, the saying, it's an honor to be nominated?
No.
Or would you have rather been like, you know, a show that didn't even have to worry about it? What's a show on our station that's been on for more than a year? Are we the only one?
We are the only one.
All right,
right,
so let's say, would you have rather had us nominated and lose, or would you rather would have seen Sliwa get nominated for Lakers Talk and have him lose instead? What would have been better?
First of all, I'd rather be nominated, right? I'd rather be in the mix. I'd rather be, you know, highlighted in some way at the big gathering, which was on Zoom this year. That's the first time I've ever actually been to a Southern California sports broadcasters event. We're never able to go. They have them
at
Lakeside.
What are you talking about? Didn't we go do a whole breakfast for them once?
Oh, yeah, but we weren't accepting awards. That wasn't an awards ceremony. We did speak at a breakfast once for them. But so I've never even been to it. It was actually kind of cool.
Luncheon is fun. I've told – you've heard this story enough times to make you want to throw up. But one year I won one, and right before me was best – play-by-play guy, and the winner was Vin Scully, and Vin was there, and he stood up and he gives the standing ovation, blah blah blah,
yeah,
and he gets up to the podium and he says, every year I look at all of the great names on the ballot for best play-by-play guy in Southern California sports broadcasting, and then I vote for myself. And he sits down and the room is just dying laughing. And the guy goes, okay, our next award, and the winner is John Ireland. And I get up, I go, if you think I'm following that, forget it. And I just,
right.
I mean, you can't follow Vin Scully.
Sure,
so,
sure.
But if you, see, I always think if you get nominated and lose,
yeah,
we can apply this to sports.
Yes.
Would you rather lose a game by 1 point?
Sure.
That where you're going to go back over it in your head, like, what?
Replay it over and over and over again.
Or just get your doors blown off so you don't have to play LeBron a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
You know, what's better?
I'd rather be in the game. And I'd rather be nominated. And I tried to make a congratulatory face when we didn't win. I tried to, smile, and I made like a little clapping sign when David Vesse won. And in all seriousness, David does a fantastic job. I hear him an awful lot.
Did you see what I did?
No, what did you do? Because you went 0 for 3, right?
I did. But when they announced Fesse,
yep,
I gave him the bird.
No, did you?
No. Come on. Can you imagine? I lost. F you.
Yeah. But I like the hardware, John. Like, I'm looking right now at my 3 Bob Miller awards. I keep them on a mantle in my actual living room. Because I do love awards. I always say I'm in this for the awards,
and
I'm totally not kidding.
I said, there's no way he's blowing this off.
No way.
I said, but I wasn't 100% sure that you could figure out Zoom.
Oh, no, Zoom. I've been doing my podcast on Zoom. I figured Zoom out. I know how to do it now. But congratulations to all of those people that won. It was a bunch of Dodgers. Joe Davis won. Alana Rizzo won. It was Charlie Steiner won a few. Congratulations to all those winners and all those congratulated. Way to go, guys! Good for you.
Yeah. And you said you look over at your Bob Miller Awards. And
yes.
It's kind of an inspiration to you.
It is. Can I just point out that there are years where the Mason and Ireland show didn't win. You won for best talk show host by yourself, and I got absolutely no credit.
I don't think
for it.
So. I think my other ones are like from when I worked at KCBS KCAL. I think any radio talk show host award I've won is with you.
Well, I've got 3, and I'm proud of the 3. And in the Hall of Fame, I'm proud of the Hall of Fame and all
that
stuff.
Is that the first Hall of Fame you're in? Are you in any other Hall of Fames? Are you in the Maumee High School Hall of Fame?
Yes, I am, actually. I went back and accepted an award, and I got a plaque and all that kind of stuff, which was nice. So I was in the student recognition kind of thing. What about you?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm – there's a – like, not a straight Hall of Fame. Like,
right.
This is the first one. I'm like in a fraternity thing that's like a Hall of Fame, but it's not really – like, do they call it the Hall of Fame at Maumee High School?
No, they call it the Excellence and Alumni something.
Yeah, like in Dallas, you go in the Ring of Honor, and, there's different names for it.
It's not quite the Ring of Honor. But if you called Maumee High School and said,
no,
who's the man?
You don't remember this?
No,
we
what?
Seriously, stop smoking so much pot.
What?
Do you not remember the day we were having a discussion like this?
Okay.
And I said, if we call Maumee High School right now, we're on in the mornings. I said, if we call it and I say to whoever answers the phone, hey, I got a question for you. Just first name that pops into your head. Who's the most famous graduate of this Aglami High School?
Yeah.
And without missing a beat, she goes, oh, it is Steve Mashonsky. He's a radio talk show host out in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I said, thank you very much.
Yep.
And you doubted it. No, you're from a podunk town, man. Yeah. You're the biggest thing going there.
Me and Dick Kazmaier, a Heisman Trophy winner.
Dick Kazmaier has aged out. He won the Heisman, right?
Yeah, he won the Heisman, I think, in the 50s playing for Yale. He also went to Maumee High School. But I think it's just the two of us for the most
part. He is not what's next.
And you went to a high school where there were many, many famous people, right?
Yeah, Corona Del Mar, I would think. Okay, so you tell me who's the most famous person off of this list.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Mark McGrath, lead singer of Sugar Ray.
I was in that Toyota celebrity race. Yeah,
like the best guy you'll ever meet.
So
like,
good.
Seriously,
such
every time
a good
somebody
guy.
Meets McGrath, they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like,
yep.
The guy cannot be this cool. He is. He literally is that cool. All right,
agreed.
And at the time, the guy who did his music videos when McGrath was in high school was McGee, the director who's gone on to, you know, huge success.
He did We Are Marshall.
Well, he did all the Charlie's Angels
all
movies.
All the Charlie's
Angels
movies,
he did
movies,
one of the Terminator movies. He did This Means War. He did We Are Marshall.
He's a great director.
All right, so he's on the list. Leslie Mann, who is married to Judd Apatow and is a really good actress.
She's
great. Would be on the list. There's a woman named Vicky McCarty, who in the 70s was the Playboy Playmate of the Year, and she married Jimmy Iovine.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Iovine, who's like one of the mega music producers of all time. Well,
and he invented beats with Dr. Dre. So I think it would come from that list. And then kind of off to the side are me and Billy Mack.
Oh, Billy Mack?
Billy Mack was 4 years older than me at the same high school.
Billy Mack?
He married a girl from my high school.
I would say it's between Mark McGrath and Billy Mack.
Leslie Mann is 100% the most famous out of that group.
You think so? She has that great 100%. Drunk scene. The
I got one more.
Scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where she's drunk
in
the car.
Here's another one that went to Corona Del Mar. Massimo. Mas Gianelli.
He's in prison.
I don't know if it's hard. I think he's in minimum security, and I think he's getting out pretty soon.
No, I think it's like Oz.
Not so sure about that.
Massimo is in prison like Oz. I think he's going to get out. I think he's going to make it. His rehab will go okay. Yeah, well, that's it.
I'm never going to be the most famous person from my high school, but you have a chance to die as the most famous graduate of Maumee High.
You are kind of a big deal, as it says on your sign there.
Right.
I am kind of a big deal. Yes, I am.
No, that's a sign that Lisa gave me to make me put up in my office.
Oh.
I was going to say, not a big enough deal to win the award, though.
Yeah, apparently not this year. And apparently, David Vesse kicked some ass. It was a good year for the Dodgers, and he was there every step of the way. Good for him.
Mace, just think of this. You're feeling bad. Like, this is what you led the show with.
Worst thing that's happened to me in a long time.
I lost 3 times as much as you. That should make you feel better.
Yeah, no, it does. As bad as my day was, yours was worse.
And my day isn't even halfway done. I got a game tonight. Are you worried about the Lakers?
I am absolutely worried about the Lakers. We've lost 2 in a row. Things do not look good.
3 out of 4.
They've struggled without Anthony Davis. It seems like the supporting cast isn't performing the way they need to. LeBron is certainly he's killing it as usual. Kuzma had a great game Saturday against Miami, but they didn't get much help. I think Kuzma scored 11 in the first quarter, like right off the bat. Bam, Kuzma. That's a guy that needs to step up, and he's doing it. But the supporting cast, and if I go and look at my email right now, venicemace@gmail.com, or look at Twitter @venicemace, you know who gets a lot of the blame. And who people are complaining about.
Who?
I will tell you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Should have mentioned 877-710 ESPN. Everybody here that gets through and gives us something meaningful on the phones will receive a Mason and Ireland limited edition T-shirt. They will run out at some time, John, but these I think we could actually sell these and make money for charity.
Really?
They're such a hot item. Absolutely.
Wow.
I get asked about it all the time.
You know,
hey,
I do not have one.
Can I get some swag?
I don't have one.
Oh, well.
That's how rare they are.
Yeah, they're so rare. Actually, they're so rare, I don't have one either. Neither of us have them. But if you contribute meaningfully on the phones today, 877-710-ESPN, you get one. John, I told you, you know, I get a lot of email from Laker fans. And there's one in particular that I want to read today.
Okay.
And this guy makes a totally fair point. His name is Moses Rodriguez.
Okay.
He points out that the Lakers currently rank 21st in the league for points allowed in the paint. And combine that with the eye test, and you might proclaim, yes, the Lakers need rim protection. They're 21st in the league. And again, this is a great defense, 21st in the league for allowing points in the paint. And a lot of people are pointing to Marc Gasol and saying, first of all, he's not contributing much at the offensive end, and he's not giving them the rim protection. And that's really kind of not his thing. They don't have the rim protection that they had last year with Dwight Howard and with JaVale McGee. How do you respond?
All right, a couple of ways. Number one, I think that people that are criticizing Marc Gasol aren't watching the defense closely. One of the reasons they're giving up tons of points in the paint is that the other teams are running as soon as they get the ball, even after makes. They're running down to the other end and getting layups and dunks. So the transition defense needs improvement, but you can't blame that on Mark. The Lakers are number two in the NBA in block shots, 6.1 a game.
Right, but how do you account for 21st in the league and allowing points per paint?
Well, I just told you that a lot of those are in transition. Now, let me address what you just said. Mark, you said that Marc Gasol, it sounds like you think, and what's this guy's name?
Moses.
Moses thinks that Mark is a liability defensively.
Yes.
All right. Mark is, and I'm not saying that he is still this guy, but Mark in 2013 was the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. I mean,
yes.
he uses his body pretty well.
You would agree that rim protection is not the thing he does best.
I wouldn't say it's any worse than, like, who's playing center for
Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee? Not as good.
Maybe. Who's playing center for the Clippers? Zubats?
Zubats.
Yeah. See, what a lot of teams are doing is they're going small. They're putting wings out on the court, and when that happens, Mark comes out of the game, and then he doesn't factor into some of the stats you're pointing out.
And in fairness, the blocks, and you pointed out second in the league in blocks, he's averaging less than a block a game.
Right, but most people are. I mean, the guy who will lead the league in blocks in a game will be at 2-plus change.
Right, he is at 0.3. So he blocks the shot once
Anthony
every three
Davis
games.
Anthony Davis is 7th in the NBA in blocks per game, and he's at 1.78.
Right, and Mark is at 0.3.
Right, so, but it block shots doesn't have as much, like, you can block shots away from the basket, too.
Correct.
So
and there's some interesting, I mean, Kyle Kuzma now gets a lot of those kind of from behind blocks where he swoops in and knocks the ball away while somebody's trying to take a shot. He does a lot of that.
Wait,
so
what do you have Gasol at for blocks? I've got him at 1.26, 21st in the NBA.
I've got him at 0.3 according to Basketball Reference.
Yeah, no, according to the stats that give us the computer for the games, he's at 1.26. So that's 21st in the NBA. And a lot of that is because he gets blocks like on putbacks and he breaks up alley-oops and, you know, stuff like that. But I'm not unhappy with Marc Gasol. Here's what I will say about the Lakers. If you said, what's your level of concern? They've lost 3 out of 4.
Yep.
They're not playing well. They're running into a hot team tonight in Washington that is a season-high 4-game win streak. And Bradley Beal is playing great. Westbrook's been playing great lately. So they're going to be in a dogfight again tonight. I take any game where either AD or LeBron is out, and I don't worry too much about it. As long as AD and LeBron are healthy as we go to the postseason, the thing that I would like to see improve the thing that I would circle of all the things you're talking about wouldn't even be focused in the paint or at Marc Gasol. They need to shoot better.
They're shooting. Yeah, their three-point shooting has been dreadful lately.
Mace, in the first 8 weeks of the season, they were top five in three-point shooting.
Right.
All right. Now they're 20th. They're still shooting 35%, but that number's misleading. They were shooting like 46% for the first 20 games. And now they've been so off from three that they're down to 35%. But in the last, I would say, 10, 12 games, it's been worse than that. The Lakers just need to, like, for example, when you look at the other night, they tried to shoot more threes. That was
right.
Kind of the way they were going to combat that is, you know, improve. It's like buying more lottery tickets. In the fourth quarter of a game they lost by two. So think about this. They were 1 for 13.
Right.
And didn't fare much better for the game. 13 of 45, 29%. And 45 is a lot of shots. They've been under 100 points two games in a row.
Right.
So that's where I would focus stuff is at the shooting. But if you, my level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10 is between a 0 and a 1. Now, if they were doing this with Anthony Davis in the game and they were scoring under 100 points and they were getting lit up and LeBron and AD were both playing and healthy, then you've got a problem. But with AD out, I don't think I think Laker fans should be prepared. There's going to be some losses before they go to the All-Star break.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, for example, tonight, feel good about. Utah, don't feel good about.
Why do you feel good about tonight?
Because Washington, I know they've been playing hot basketball. I think are they on a four-game winning streak?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on a four-game winning streak. I still think that's a beatable basketball team. I mean, on the whole, that team has not been successful.
I think tonight's a toss-up. I think it is. They're both teams that need a win. And, you know, the Wizards are a weird story. I don't know how much you know about this. They have been kneecapped by COVID more than maybe any team in sports. They had 9 players go into health and safety protocol with 6 testing positive in January. So the league just shut them down for 13 days.
Right.
From January 11th to the 24th, not only could they not play, they couldn't meet. They quarantined everybody for 13 days. They lost their first 4 games coming out of quarantine, and those were their 4 lowest scoring games of the season. And Scott Brooks said 2 days ago that they're still battling back from that. So these Wizards may be better than their record indicates because basically they got kneecapped by COVID 10 days into January.
Yeah, I mean, they are a 10-17 team, and that's a team you've got to beat if you're the Lakers, even without Anthony Davis.
A toss-up.
Michael, you think that you think the Lakers without AD are locked to win tonight?
Heck yeah, if they don't, something's seriously wrong.
Michael, something's seriously wrong.
Michael, they've lost 3 out of 4, and you picked them to win all 4 games.
Well, let's see, who did they lose to recently? They lost to some good, obviously, to Brooklyn.
Lost to Miami, and Miami's playing well.
Yeah, Miami's playing better now. They're healthy. And so it's not shocking to lose those teams, but to lose tonight would be shocking right to this team. Come on.
Yeah, I completely agree, Mike.
Michael,
is wrong if they lose.
How's this team won 4 games in a row? How'd they just win at Denver?
Because they haven't played the Lakers yet.
But these aren't the Lakers.
John, what you're saying is every game, because this is a 10-17 team, what you're saying is that every game is going to be a toss-up for the next 3 weeks.
Exactly. Guys, you're not looking. The Lakers lost to Golden State at home this year.
So are we a 500 basketball team without AD?
Without AD, I think it's very similar to what they were 3 years ago. Or 2 years ago, LeBron's first year here.
Yeah, they're missing Schroeder, too, but they should
be. Yeah, Schroeder will be back, I think, on Friday.
That they're missing Schroeder.
Yeah, but come on.
You can't panic if you're a Laker fan if they don't look good going into the break. Everything's going to correct when AD comes back.
If they let Washington come in there and beat him, then something's wrong.
You got to beat the bad teams.
Yes, come on, Ireland.
Yeah, you got to, John.
Don't be soft on them.
What are you talking about, Michael? They've lost games worse than this. They lost to Golden State at home.
I know, after a 14-point
lead. A game you put in the refrigerator.
Did you put it in the refrigerator?
Yes, they were 14 in the fourth quarter. Who didn't think that game was over?
You cannot put games in the refrigerator too early, Michael.
Why?
Obviously, because you sometimes are wrong.
Well, that wasn't my fault. I didn't know they were going to take their foot off the gas.
What do you mean it wasn't your fault? Did someone else put the game in the refrigerator?
Yeah, they took the foot off the gas, mate. I didn't know they were going to do that.
It was you that put it in the refrigerator.
We just got to be patient. Down AD is a big deal. AD and Schroeder is huge.
Yes.
You gotta have some patience.
But we got one of the deepest teams in the league. They should be able to overcome that for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that was the argument all along, yeah, is that this team was one of the deepest teams, yes, in the league, and
but
they
you
have
just took
not
the
looked
second
like that.
And third leading scorers off the team. But come on, guys. This is not the Lakers that won the title last year. You got to wait till AD gets back.
Collectively, couldn't Kuzma average 17 in AD's absence? Can't Harrell get 12 to 15? Wes Matthews, 8. Caruso, 6. THT, about 8 or 10. Come on, they can make up for those points.
Michael, I'm glad you brought that up because I think that, in a strange way, that's what we're about to find out. I mean, Rob Pelinka has, since he's been the general manager of the Lakers, has been very good in the buyout market, has been very good making in-season roster changes. Right now...
By the way, are you allowed to talk about, because a lot of fans are, I'm not sure if you're allowed to talk about him yet, but Boogie Cousins is the name that everyone's got.
Served. Has Houston released him yet?
We don't. No, we couldn't quite figure
it
out.
Okay, so the rule with Michael and I is we can't talk about players under contract to other teams. But I can say this about DeMarcus Cousins, and Michael knows this too. Things ended great with him when he left. They still hold – I know
– They gave him a ring.
Right. And I know that the Lakers front office thinks very highly of him. And, Michael, you've said many times that Clay's played with him on Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks so.
And in Oakland. They loved him.
Yeah. If what Woj is reporting, and when's the last time Woj was wrong?
Yeah. That the Lakers have interest in signing Boogie Cousins once he's
officially – Right. Mace, there will be other teams that try and sign him also. And, by the way, every good player that hits the open market, the names you're going to hear are Brooklyn, Lakers, Clippers – probably Celtics and maybe Sixers, because those are the teams that have a chance to win a championship.
And by the way, Boogie, they're separate. They're going their separate ways in Houston. But Boogie was scoring 10 a game.
Yeah,
he was 10 and 7 rebounds, almost 8 rebounds a game. I mean, he was playing really well. That's just a franchise. And the other player that's down there, he won't be on the buyout market, I don't think, but would be a great acquisition for the Lakers. Would be PJ Tucker, who the Lakers apparently, according to multiple sources, are expressing interest in.
Well,
I think that would have to be.
And don't forget this. The rosters were expanded at the start of this year.
Right.
So the Lakers have an open roster spot.
They do. They still do.
They do. They have 16 players under contract, 14, and then the two G League guys, which
Hang
are Kostas Antetokounmpo and Devontae Kaycock.
Gilbert wants to jump in here on the phones. Gilbert, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You're way off, Mace.
Okay.
Marcus Gasol actually has more blocks than JaVale McGee, who's at 1.1, and then Dwight Howard, who's at 0.8. Mark is averaging 1.3 blocks a game. So he's not the problem. And he's helping our offense by being able to run the offense through him because he's a great passer. So I'm with Mark.
By the way, Michael, where do
Team
you come
Mark.
Down on? Where do you come down? I think Marc Gasol's been kind of what I thought he would be. I'm not down on Gasol. Are you?
No. The Laker problems with points in the paint may stems from, and I remember this up in Portland, is guys out in the perimeter not be able to stop their guys from driving. I used to yell at Clyde Drexler all the time.
But isn't that a function of not having rim protection? If guys are driving, if guys are slashing to the basket, don't you need somebody to stand in the way and stop that drive?
Well, sometimes, obviously, you know, you can't stand in the middle and zone up. But sometimes you can't get there quick enough because guys are turning the corner too fast for big guys. Because a lot of the centers now are not, like, posted in the paint where Mark's out by the three-point line or above the foul line. And he can't get there quick enough to block those shots because the perimeter guys are letting people get by him.
And by the way, Mace, Anthony Davis is as good at that as anybody in the NBA. So when they get their defense right, like everybody gets healthy, you can – when Shaq and Kobe were going to the finals 4 times in 5 years, the way that defense worked was Kobe and Ron Harper, who were the guards, got right out on people outside. And if they got beat off the dribble – it didn't really matter because those guys would eventually run into Shaq. And, Michael, that's why AD is way more valuable than what his offensive numbers tell you.
Oh, yeah.
He's an elite defender. Mm-hmm. I think he was heading for Defensive Player of the Year had he not missed so many games. I think that may take it away
from
him
now. Yeah, I picked him to win MVP this year.
Really?
Yeah, but I think he's missed too many games now. But
oh, of course.
But,
yeah.
Michael, if you have Anthony Davis lurking in the paint and he's healthy, that's going to make up for a lot of these point lopsided points in the paint numbers, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, no question. Duh. Jeez.
Okay. Yeah, duh. All right. Coming up next for you, Mark Teixeira is going to join us. We'll talk a little Dodgers. Man, Trevor Bauer is all over Twitter, all over Twitter right now. We're just getting in Los Angeles introduced to what Lindsay calls the ultimate troll. We'll get into some of that with Mark Teixeira. Dodgers over under number 104.5. What side of that would he come down on? Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What's going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Without you guys, we would not be able to do this dumb show, and I'm not posing. All right. So Dodgers, the over-under in Vegas is 104.5. The best team in baseball by far. The Pecota projections, another source, has them at 103. So this is going to be a massively good Dodgers team. They will likely be challenged in a more meaningful way by the San Diego Padres, but it should be a great year for the Dodgers.
By the way, Mace, do you know the last time a team was rated that high in the Pecota projections was the Yankees, and one of the guys who was on that team was Mark Teixeira.
Ah, there you go. And Mark Teixeira joins us right now. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
I'm great, guys. You?
We're doing good.
Everything is good here.
All right, so you, like I mentioned, you've been on teams that on paper look like super teams, and you guys delivered when you won the World Series. When you look at the Dodgers, I'll put it this way. Mark, if I made you say, all right, I'll give you the Dodgers or you get the field, you get all the other teams in the National League, which side would you lean towards?
You know, I heard you guys talking about kind of the over-unders. Taking Dodgers versus field is a tough one, but I would take the over on wins. And,
really?
And the reason because I just think this team in the regular season is going to dominate. The issue that I say with, you know, Dodgers versus the field, and I assume you're talking about getting to the World Series.
Yeah, getting there.
Is that the Padres and Braves are really good. And in a seven-game series, anything can happen. So I might have to say I'll take the field getting to the series, but the Dodgers are going to win over 100 games easily this year because they're just that stacked.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? I'm a huge Dodgers fan. I followed them all the way to Dallas last year and was there for the win, and I really would. If there was a gun to my head, I would say Dodgers absolutely dominant during the regular season, but I would take the field when it comes to the playoffs, only because of the randomness of baseball. It is really, really hard once you get to the playoffs and a bad game or two, a pitcher with a bad start, a guy in a slump, all of a sudden it becomes very dicey. So I think anybody logical would take the field if that's the way the question is phrased. Do you agree?
Agreed. And that's exactly what I'm saying, guys. I mean, again, you look on paper, this is the best team in baseball. And there's not even a close second. I mean, you could maybe say the Padres and Yankees, if everything goes right with them from an injury standpoint, from a health standpoint, the Padres and Yankees could match up. But the Dodgers' depth allows them to have a couple bad seasons from certain players, have a couple injuries during a long season, and still just get through 162 and dominate. But, you know, you look at even last year, the Braves were a bounce or two from beating the Dodgers in the NLCS.
Yep.
I mean, that's just how random baseball is, and I've always been a proponent, not that it'll ever happen. I don't expect this to happen, but these, you know, NLCS and World Series should be longer series because if you really want to take the randomness out of baseball, it maybe should be 5 out of 9 right? Because I just think that there's a lot of crazy things can happen in a short series.
Yeah, that would reward the best team as opposed to the hot team if you were to go to something like five of nine.
Yeah, Tex, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, that's how it used to be. Like in the year the White Sox scandal, what they call the Black Sox, that was a nine-game series. So you're not ridiculous. That's not a ridiculous suggestion. They've done it before.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, you look at basketball, 82-game regular season, seven-game playoff series. Baseball plays twice as many regular season games but has the same amount of games in a playoff. So
right. You
could easily see where baseball could go. But, again, I do not expect them to get there at all. If anything, I think the playoffs, they should add more teams like they did last year. I love that. I love seeing more teams involved. And at the end of the day, the best teams made the World Series. So I think the process worked.
Mark Teixeira is with us, legendary baseball player, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN, also an ESPN analyst. So Trevor Bauer is in, you know, a back and forth now with Noah Syndergaard that we're kind of learning about Trevor Bauer on the fly. I think people that have followed him closely knows that he does troll people. He's trolling Noah Syndergaard. Does that have, and you've been a member of a major league team, does that sort of thing, can it be distracting?
It can be distracting when performance falters. If Trevor Bauer goes out there and is a top five Cy Young guy and is dominating, he can do whatever he wants if I'm his teammate. And I've said that from day one. You can be out there on social media. Now, when I was younger, there wasn't any social media, so it really wasn't anything I had to worry about until the end of my career. But, you know, you can, you know, go out at night and stay out late, and you can cause problems, and you can, you know, trash your hotel room. I don't care, as long as you go out there and perform. So as long as Trevor Bauer is performing, he can be whatever he wants. And I think that, listen, you're in Tinseltown. You're in the entertainment capital of the world. I think Dodger fans are going to love Trevor Bauer's antics as long as he goes out there and shoves on the mound.
Mark Teixeira is with us. And, Mark, you're the perfect guy to ask this question. I was kind of surprised that the Dodgers were able to get Trevor Bauer. He got a very player-favorable contract. But you were in this boat. When you're a free agent and you can really go anywhere, at the height of your career, I think you were playing for the Angels. You were part of a midseason trade, and then you became a free agent, and that's when you decided to sign with the Yankees. What is it different for every player? Like, we hear all the time, we're in LA, that guy's never going to sign here because the taxes are too high. Well, you know, LeBron came here, and now Mookie Betts came here, and now Bauer's coming here. Is it, when you're going through that decision, is it more where you're from, what your family wants to do? Do you look at the taxes? How does the rich keep getting richer like these Dodgers are doing?
Well, first of all, I never looked at taxes. That was, if there were, you know, 100, you know, lines on my spreadsheet of how I wanted to make a decision when I was a free agent, taxes might have been 100.
Okay, so good.
I don't think that matters for you know, the best of the best. To me, you look at a West Coast guy who's got a chance to play for the Dodgers on a team that is the number, you know, best team in baseball, has a chance to win a World Series.
And I should have mentioned, Mark, that you're an East Coast guy. One of the reasons why you went back there is you and your wife were from that part of the country, right?
That's exactly. So I was just about to say that. I mean, my wife and I said this, you know, every time that we talk about it with friends or family, and, you know, we travel a lot, we see people. If we were West Coast, you know, families, you know, my wife's a Georgia family, you know, my family was in Maryland at the time. You know, if we were from the West Coast, we would have re-signed with the Angels. I absolutely loved playing with the Angels. I loved the weather. I mean, when you're an everyday player and you got to strap it on 150 to 162 times a game, weather matters. It
right.
really does. And you look at the fan base, the quality of life, all of these great things that Southern California can give you as a baseball player. And, you know, I just think that it was a no-brainer for Trevor Bauer. Now, the Dodgers, like, they have an embarrassment of riches right now. Did the Dodgers need Trevor Bauer? No. But when they could get him on a three-year deal, they looked at it and said, man, this is – we have to do this deal.
So I want to ask you something there is a report now, and I think baseball has backed it up, that, you know, there were 6,776 home runs in 2018, a 20% increase over any year in history. Baseball is going to use a different baseball this year than they used last year. It was controversial last year. Unbelievable number of home runs. The seams will be lower by, and this is for real, seams will be lower by 1/1,000th of an inch. The ball will be wound less tightly, and it will weigh a little bit less. Do you think that has an effect on the game, and is it a good one?
I hope it does, and yes, it is a good one. And here's the thing. I mean, just anecdotally, last few years I played, I even felt the ball getting a little bit harder. And players, you know, we'd be in the dugout, and we'd be kind of throwing the ball around. I mean, listen, this is what we do for a living. We've been you know, touching, throwing, hitting baseballs our entire lives. And we started saying, man, this ball's getting hard. The ball kept getting harder after I retired in 2016. Home runs became something that kind of weren't that interesting anymore. Yeah, I mean, a big home run in the playoffs, of course, that's cool. But to see 4, 5, 6 home runs in every single game,
yeah,
lots of games. I mean, I watch a ton of Yankee games, you know, naturally. Some Yankee games, the only runs scored in the game are from home runs. I mean, a lot of Yankee games, the only runs scored are from home runs. So I do think that if you want to get baseball back to a more watchable game where it's not just strikeouts, walks, and home runs, softening the ball a little bit or giving it less carry will help, because the issue is that young players think, well, I'm not going to get to the big leagues unless I hit home runs. You look at the shift and you look at how great defenses are these days. If you're a bad defensive player, you're an American League DH. Manny Ramirez isn't running around in left field anymore where, you know, you can pop a ball up and there's a good chance you're getting a double, right? So I just think that there are things that baseball can do to put the ball in play a little bit more,
yep,
and hopefully softening the baseball or giving it less carry does that.
Mark, last thing for me. You were one of the last remaining all-star switch hitters. The more I look around the league, there may be a couple of guys doing it, but it's a lost art. And what surprises me about that is so many managers are into platoons. Like last year, the Dodgers played Jock Peterson against righties, and they played A.J. Pollock against lefties. So it would mean that you could enhance your career and be more valuable. Why don't more guys do what you did and learn how to switch hit?
Great question. First of all, it's really hard. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. It's like,
did you learn as a kid?
I learned it as a 5-year-old. I didn't start doing it until I was 13 full time. Natural right-handed. Almost every switch hitter is naturally right-handed because you're just not going to get the reps from left-handed pitching as a young player to kind of catch up from that side of the plate. So, you know, but the real issue is, other than it being really difficult to have two swings to worry about rather than one, is as a left-handed hitter right now, it's not an advantage. I mean, with the shift, you take a huge, huge disadvantage into being a left-handed hitter. And so if I'm Mike Trout growing up and I'm a great right-handed hitter and I mess around left-handed and I'm like, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this. If I'm his dad or his agent, I'm saying, Mike, dude, don't hit left-handed. Look how many players are on the right side of the field. Stay hitting right-handed, and that's the way to go. And so I just think that just from a practical standpoint, you know, you add in, we could talk about this for hours, you add in the fact that you have tons of these kids growing up in very competitive youth baseball organizations where their coach isn't willing to let them try out switch hitting. It's like, hey, dude, you're on this travel team. We're going to go win states, or we're going to go win the national championship, and I need you to be, you know, the one-weight hitter that you are, and we're not going to try out switch hitting this season.
Right. Hey, listen, Mark, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you very much for coming on, and I hope we can do this again sometime down the line.
Always fun, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Tex. See ya.
Mark Teixeira there.
And by the way, you're with me on those shifts, right? You'd be okay getting rid of them?
Get rid of the shifts, but also bring in the softer baseball. I'm 100% in favor of the softer baseball.
Yeah, and Teixeira agreed with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and he was a power hitter.
Everybody wants to see small ball. You know what? If you can't hit a home run on every at-bat, you're going to see more stolen bases and you're going to see more small ball, which to me is more action.
You guys want to get rid of dunks too?
Wait,
no.
Michael, you want to keep the shifts?
No, get rid of the shifts, but who doesn't love home runs?
I want the ball in play, man. It's boring. Six home runs for each team, boring.
The problem, Michael, is all they're doing is swinging for the fence, and strikeouts are way up.
Yeah, it's all about launch angle. It's enough already. Get rid of launch angle. Make guys hit doubles off the wall. Let's see a triple. Let's see a guy go first to third. Let's see stolen bases. Let's see suicide squeezes and bunts to set. Let's see all that stuff as opposed to just home runs. I want the ball in play. I want more action.
Somebody leads the league in triples, they'll hit 15 a season. That's what you want to see? Or you want to see somebody hit 60 home runs?
A triple is one of the most exciting things in baseball.
Yeah, then how come
a triple is more exciting than a home run to me?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I agree
absolutely.
With that.
I want more action. Triples are rare. Everybody hits
Michael,
home runs.
I used to be on your side of this argument until I realized that the ball's never in play. It's either going over the fence or the guys are striking out. We need to get the ball in play. There's outfielders that don't touch the ball for three or four innings.
All right, we got to get a break because apparently we're way late, I'm being told, and it's very unprofessional on my part. So coming up next, I have heard from Dora the psychic, the medium, plus my new vice. I've got a brand new vice, John, and it's
healthy.
It's not good. It's not good. Mason in Ireland, 710 ES.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
ESPN. All right, what's going on? We're leading you up to some Lakers basketball right after Sedano, LZ, and Cap. By the way, Scott Kaplan did my podcast on Saturday. It'll come out a week after next. Really entertaining, really fun. Learned a lot about stuff about Scott Kaplan that I did not know.
Do I still have the record for most downloads on your podcast, or did someone usurp me?
The record for most downloads on a podcast is you interviewing me.
That makes sense.
When you interviewed me, and we went really pretty deep, that was the most downloaded podcast. By the way, you can get it. Go to stevemason.com or search Culture Pop on iTunes and Spotify. So, John, I've got a new vice. And what restaurant is my go-to for chicken sandwiches?
For chicken sandwiches. Well,
for good fried chicken sandwich.
I know you share my love of Chick-fil-A, but I don't think that's the answer.
No.
Popeyes.
Love that chicken from Popeyes. Yeah, it is Popeyes.
No.
And they have introduced a brand new one. I got it from...
Do you have a Popeyes near you?
No, you can DoorDash it.
Okay.
You can totally DoorDash it.
DoorDashing fast food is like the laziest thing on the planet.
Okay, but I did because there's no Popeyes near me. So I did DoorDash the brand new Cajun flounder sandwich on Saturday. Every weekend we have one meal where we're allowed to eat whatever we want. I opted for Popeyes, and the Cajun flounder sandwich is absolutely fantastic. And this is not a paid commercial. In fact, I don't
Cajun
even think they advertise on the station.
Flounder sandwich? So it's a fish sandwich?
It's a fish sandwich. Yeah, Cajun flounder sandwich. It is so friggin' good. It is so friggin' good. So I actually ordered it on both Saturday and Sunday. I broke my rule and had more than one.
Don't you and Javier like to cook?
Juan and I do not cook.
Why not? Cooking is fun.
Yeah, no, we order stuff in.
You can drink a little wine, you know, you cut up all
your stuff. Wait, you guys order stuff in every single night?
Yeah, there's a food delivery service that drops off food once every 3 days, and that's what we eat.
At how much money you could save if you cooked even two nights a week.
It's not costing us a lot of money. It's unbelievable. It's a really good service. It's called, I can't remember the name, but it's really, really good.
Can you make a salad?
Michael, on game nights like tonight, when will you eat?
Let's see. The game will be starts at 7, so 9:27 game will be over. I will leave the parking lot at 9:35. I will get home at 10:18, and I will eat at 10:23.
See, that you eat after the game late. They say that's the most unhealthy thing you could do. I'm surprised you're not fat.
You're right, because I've only had some granola this morning, so I'll wait. I don't like to like eat before a game because in
I'm
case
I'm starting to get like that too.
Because in case something happens, you have to like run to the men's room.
Right. Early in my career, I had to do that a couple of times. I thought I better watch what I eat.
Yeah,
what
I can't eat before the show. I've got to do the show on an empty stomach with a lot of caffeine in me. That's the only way the show works.
That's how I played too. I had to eat like 6-7 hours before game time. Some guys could eat in the locker room before a game. I don't understand how they do that.
Yeah,
you go into a Laker locker room now or NBA locker room, and they got like a buffet of food out an hour, 2 hours before game time.
Before and after.
Yeah, how do guys eat on a play on a full stomach? I can never figure that out.
I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but we used to travel with a full-time nutritionist who would prepare meals like at all different times of the day, so you could get it. Eating has become like a big part of
it's important.
Of a routine for a lot of
people. Yeah, and you know, Michael, I, at the peak of the pandemic in August, weighed 217, which is as heavy as I've weighed in 20 years.
Just eating and sitting around.
Eating, sitting around. That was the donut phase where I ordered donuts a lot of nights. I've cut all the way back to 190 on the dot.
What'd you cut out of your diet?
I just eat less. I eat a lot of nuts, and I just yogurt, and I just eat less food.
Actually, you could eat like 3-4 times a day like my wife does. So she eats like 3-4 times, but she eats the right stuff. Like,
that's what it
your
is.
Your wife has always been very shapely, Michael.
Very fit. Bodybuilders eat like 6 times a day, but they're eating like rice cakes and stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm eating healthy. It's definitely about what – and I'm doing a lot of yoga, and I'm doing a lot – I've got a bike out there called the Spike
Bike.
Why
don't you and Juanito hook up some salad and some like grilled chicken and veggies instead of – ordering out.
It's Juan, by the way. It's Juan.
That's what Michael said.
Juanito.
Juanito. Yeah. Little Juan is what you're saying. Juanito. Little Juan.
Why don't you guys like? Don't you think it's fun to have like sipping wine and cutting up all the ingredients?
I am not.
The what?
We have no alcohol in the house.
The food.
We have no alcohol in the house.
What?
Ah,
come on.
No,
really?
my condiment is very, very different.
Oh, you don't have any wine or like beer?
Nope.
Whoa.
No wine or beer. Man. Just flour, man. Just flour.
No wonder I'm never coming over.
All right. So here's the note from Dora. And remember, Dora the medium.
Now, Michael, give me your opinion on this. I think Mason has made up Dora as a character for the show.
Honestly.
Well, he said Lindsay her email.
Yes, he's never sent it to me.
Oh, I mean, I'll forward you this. She writes to venicemace@gmail.com. And remember, she's 3 for 3. 3 times she's given me the correct winner. She says, "Dear sweet spirit Steve Mason, I bring you blessings from all that is connected to the voices of the universe. I am finding it difficult to listen to you and Mr. Ireland. Last week he questioned my very existence.
I do. Still it do, Dora.
It is offensive to me and to the spirits who I am connected to in a meaningful way. I sense that you believe in me, Mr. Mason. 3 times I have told you what I have heard from my universal connection, and 3 times I have shared with you the information necessary to win one of your so-called mythical money bets. Please ignore Mr. Ireland. I have been told that my beloved Lakers will succeed easily tonight against the Washington basketball team. Connected to all and in the deepest service of the world, sending you love and light and beauty this day with deepest humility for all my gifts. I wish you many blessings. Dora, St. Louis, Missouri."
Now, Michael, do you think that's an actual psychic or did Mason just make it up as a bit?
See, I think I believe Mace, but tell Dora to send Ireland an email and say, "I do exist." Why don't you do that?
I'll just forward this.
No. Give her Ireland's email and have her send it to Ireland.
Ireland, you don't want me to give her your email.
Well,
do
I don't care.
There you go. That'll solve all of Ireland's doubts.
Okay. But I really don't care if you made her up or not. If you win again tonight, that's a pretty decent
sample
size.
But I think the listeners,
that's 4 for 4.
But you've got the listeners so intrigued. I think the listeners want to know that she is for real.
Okay. By the way, I just forwarded that note to Ireland, Lindsay, and Jorge. So the note is real. I believe she exists, or at least I believe somebody's yanking my chain.
Is her email address on that note?
It is, but it's a Gmail address that Mason very easily could have made up.
Oh, come on. Do you really think I have that in me?
Oh, I completely think you have. I have it in me, so I know you have it in you.
All right, coming up next for you, the back and forth between Cam Newton and some punk from over the weekend. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.